I don't mean to complain, but listen, I have to admit, I've known a lot of preachers, and as a class, I sometimes think we can be among the whiniest people I've ever met. I don't mean to whine and complain like things are just really difficult being preacher, but you know, sometimes it's just hard. And sometimes it's just discouraging because we have to get up here and sometimes the things that I have to say are difficult and they're hard, they're not easy, it's not the natural thing. It's kind of like trying to get us to go against the grain of what we've done. It's almost like we're hardwired to not want to do sometimes the things that I have to present up here. And I just have to tell you that sometimes it just is really hard to get up here and week in and week out, teach all that hard stuff, those things that we don't always want to hear. And so tonight I thought I would take a little different approach. Tonight I thought I would see what it's like to be on the other side of that fence. And I just want to follow the path of least resistance. I want to talk to you about something that is just really very simple. Something that is really very easy. I'd like for us to look in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. It's a story that we all know. It's a story that it's a story that most of us know. Especially if you were brought up in some kind of church environment, you heard the song, "The wise man built his house upon the rock and the foolish man built his house upon the sand." And normally, when we look at this passage, we want to talk about the things that it takes to do the hard work of building our house upon the rock. But tonight, I'd like to take the path of least resistance and let's talk about how to build our life on sand. The five steps to build our life on sand. And I have to tell you, I'm looking at my slide. I'm a little freaked out because that's not the right font. So now I'm worried about what's going to come up next. But we'll just have to wing it. Before we look at that, how about we bow in a word of prayer, please? God in heaven, you are gracious and awesome, and we love you and we want to praise you, and we do want our life to be built upon the rock of your Son, Jesus. Help us tonight as we look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and following, that as we look at it in perhaps a little bit of a different light, that our hearts and minds will be open to you and what you really have for us. We long to be with you and to praise you, and we ask that you help us to bring glory to your name. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, Matthew 7 and verse 24, here's how it begins. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell and great was the fall of it." There are really just five very simple steps if you want to build your house on sand. I'm going to share them with you. It's going to be very quick. And then we'll be able to go on and just live our lives whichever way that we want. So the first step in building your life upon sand is you need to read God's Word. Now, I know that sounds counterintuitive. But if you want to build your life on sand, begin by reading God's Word. I know we might expect that what Jesus says is that the person who builds his life on sand doesn't read God's Word at all. And it is certainly true that if you do not read God's Word at all, you'll be building your life on sand. But in Jesus' story, as he talks about the one who builds on sand, I want you to notice as he talks about that foolish person in verse 26, "And everyone who hears these words of mine." This person is somebody who hears the words of God. So if you want to build your life on sand, I want you to start by listening to the Word of God. I want you to start by going to church, be at church and hear sermons, hear a lot of sermons. You know, you can get online and you can hear the Word of God preached probably 24 hours a day if you found enough podcasts. There's so much that you can do. It is so easy in our day to read and hear God's Word. I mean, first of all, we all have our copies of this. Back when Jesus was around, not everybody had a copy of the Scripture. In that first century, not everybody got a copy. But I venture to say that everyone here has their very own copy of the... And in fact, let me ask you, how many of you here have your very own copy of this book? That's what I thought. We've all got a copy. It's the easiest thing in the world. You can read this. You can even get it so that you can hear it in the car. Anybody have a commute? 30 minutes, an hour, 45 minutes, you can get one of those audio Bibles and stick it in and you can listen to it. I want to encourage you, if you want to build your life on sand, read God's Word, listen to God's Word, hear God's Word. The reason why this is very important for building your life on sand is because if you're spending that much time reading God's Word, it's very easy to deceive yourself into believing that you're building your life upon the rock. And not to mention, if you're spending that much time reading God's Word, you have a ready-made excuse for when things aren't going your way to gripe and complain against God. After all, I've been going to church. I went twice this Sunday. Surely that ought to count for something. Surely God ought to keep the storms from coming in my life. So if you want to build on sand, certainly you can just dispense with God's Word. But really, it'll be a whole lot better if you go ahead and read God's Word. Now, here's the main key. If you want to build your life on sand, you certainly want to read God's Word. That's going to sound a whole lot like the person who's building on the rock. But here's the key. If you want to build your life on sand, ignore it. All that stuff that you read, all that stuff that you heard, all the parts about it that you didn't like, just ignore it. Why would we have to do all of that stuff? It's hard. It's difficult. It's unnatural. Again, as I said in the introduction, I almost seem hardwired not to want to do a lot of those things. It's so much easier just to pursue the passions and lusts of my flesh than to try to surrender to God and do the things that He would have me do. Notice what Jesus said there in verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them. If you want to build your life on sand, just dismiss it. Disregard it. Figure out reasons why it doesn't apply to you. It's really easy to do that. I can tell you. In fact, let me give you a couple of illustrations. In case you think that that's a really hard thing to do, I'll give you a few illustrations. Look in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, here's what it says. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I mean, that's great if you want to build your life on the rock, but if you want to build your life on the sand, why even worry about that? I mean, certainly seeking God's kingdom first could be a wonderful thing, and it'd be great for you and your future and your eternity, but in the moment, it's really hard. I mean, after all, I want the kingdom of God, but what's really going to be exciting is if I seek first my financial stability. If I seek first my education that will allow me to be financially stable. That's what's going to be super fun and exciting right now. That's the thing. If I seek that first, and once I'm done with that, I mean, that's hard. That's a lot of work to do that, to make sure that I'm financially successful and financially stable and my retirement account is packed. Once I'm done with that, I need a break. And so next, what I can do is I can seek my entertainment and my recreation and my relaxation. And if I've got all of that taken care of, then I can start working on seeking the kingdom. See how just easy and simple it is to build your life on sand there? Luke chapter 17, let me give you another illustration. In Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 1, he said to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Forgiveness is tough. Forgiveness is hard. But hey, let's just cut that part out and not worry about it. I mean, I know that's what Jesus said. But why go through all that hardship? In fact, it's so much more easy and so much more fun and so much more gratifying if I can nurse the grudge. If I can hold on to that poison and bitterness within me. And I can hold it against them for the rest of my life. Because if I forgave them, I might have to be friends with them again. And who wants that? If I forgave them, I might have to reconcile with them. And who on earth wants that? Oh no, we don't want that. Instead, let's just dismiss this and ignore this. And isn't that so much easier in the moment? Isn't that just so much more the way we want to live right now? Let me just give you one more. Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15 it says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he doesn't listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses." And on it goes, explaining that whole process of dealing with someone who is trapped in sin. But notice what it says is, if you know someone is caught in sin, if they've sinned against you, you need to go to them alone. If you have a problem with someone, if someone has done something that is a sin against you, you, one-on-one, need to go to them alone. But that's no fun. It is so much more fun, instead of going to them to talk to them about the problem that you have with them, go to someone else, because then it's a juicy tidbit of gossip. Now that is fun. That's exciting to be able to pass on those little secrets. So here's the deal. These are just some illustrations to just demonstrate to you how truly easy it is to build our lives on sand. All you've got to do is read what God says, then ignore it. Just do the opposite. Don't do that thing. Do something else. The third thing. Now, I know that this one is not specifically stated in Matthew chapter 7, but I'm certain that it had to take place. And that's justify how you're living. Justify how you're living. Now, I know that this happened here because whenever we see someone who's working hard, who's doing more than us, don't we have to justify to ourselves that we're not doing it? Don't we have to explain why what I'm doing is really okay and I'm okay and you're okay? And look, I'm so glad that you're building on the rock, but it's okay for me to build on the sand. I don't have to be doing as much as you are. I don't have to be working as hard as you do. I can justify myself. And when I justify myself, I can salve my conscience and feel better about the fact that I am building on the sand while you're next door to me building on the rock. I mean, could you imagine if you were the sand builder and you're sitting there and you've put up your house very quickly and you're sitting there on your porch and you're sipping your iced tea or your lemonade, and you see that guy and he's just working hard. He gets up early every morning and he is just busting it. Why wouldn't you feel the need to justify why you're not working as hard as he is? Of course we do. So let me give you some help here. I've actually written down a few things that will help us in this, just in case you're wondering what kind of justifications you can use. I've got a list of 10. There could be more, but I'm just going to share these with you. So ready-made justifications. Get out your pen and paper. You can write these down and use these anytime you just want to build your life on sand. Here's the first one. Nobody else is doing what the rock builder's doing. Not many rock builders, are there? So that's certainly easy. In fact, here's number two. Everybody else is doing what I'm doing. Here's number three. Surely God doesn't expect that out of me. Number four. That's just natural. Normal people don't behave like that. Oh, here's one. You've probably heard this one before. I think God just wants me to be happy right now. Ready-made justifications. All right, number six. You know, I can see living like that rock builder in some circumstances, but my situation is different. If you knew my situation, you'd understand. Number seven, that's just too hard. That's also a good excuse when you're working on algebra. Number eight, if I do that, people will think I'm weird. Number nine, oh, if I act like that rock builder, people will take advantage of me. It would be awful to be taken advantage of. And how about this one? Again, I'm sure that we could go on and on with some of these justifications, but these are just 10 simple ones that will help you build your life on sand. Number 10, I like the Bible and all, but let's not be extreme about it. Moderation in all things and all that. The fact is, it's very easy to come up with justifications. You can see people who are building their lives on the rock and building their house on the rock, and you can feel guilty, but it's very easy to just salve your conscience and justify yourself and come up with some quick little turn of phrase that'll make you feel okay about it. And after you've done that, then you need to progress to step four. And once again, I understand that this one may not be blatantly stated in the passage, but I think we all know that it must have happened. blame God when things go wrong. I mean, after all, who's the one that's in control of the storms? Right? Jesus, he had the miracles. He could stop the storms. God is the sovereign ruler of the universe. If there are storms in my life, who could have stopped that? Why, God could have. And so, when I'm building my life on sand, and you remember, in step one, remember that? That's why step one was so important. It is so much easier to blame God in step four if in step one we were reading His Word. Because then we feel justified in believing that God has to do everything we want and run our lives exactly the way we want it. And so if we started with step one and make sure we're reading the Bible a lot, then we can get to step four. And when things don't go the way we want, we can be mad at Him as the sovereign ruler over the storms. Why, you know, things would have been fine, God, if you hadn't let the storm happen. Blame Him. Let's think of the kind of storms that happen that mess up our lives. What about severe illness? Death of a loved one. How about being laid off or fired? What about being betrayed by a family member, especially a spouse? Being betrayed by a friend? What about the stock market crashing and our retirement fund just being obliterated? What about a house fire or a tornado that tears the whole thing down? There are all kinds of storms that come in our lives. And if you want to build your house on sand, blame God for the storms. Now, this is really important. It's really important that you blame God for the storms, because if you ever begin to think that maybe the problem was you didn't build on the rock and therefore you weren't prepared for the storms, you might start changing how you're building. So this is really, really important for you to be ready-made to give God all the blame, to be angry at Him and to rail at Him because storms, which happen, be ready to blame Him for that. Because otherwise you might change and start doing what He says to get ready for the storms that are going to come. So this is very simple. Four steps so far. Read your Bible. Ignore it. Justify how you're living. Blame God. Now here's the all-important thing. Then, once you have done this, once you have worked and accomplished this, you get to sit back and enjoy the fruit of your easy labor and watch your life crumble. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 27, the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Because you see, that's what happens when we build our lives on sand. Now, here's the amazing thing that this works. For a period of time, it looked like the sandy house was going to last just as well as the rocky house. In fact, while it was the sunny season, we can probably think that we're better off, because look at how hard all those rock builders are working, and we're getting the ease. We're getting to enjoy the luxury of not having to work that hard and the leisure and the pleasure. But then there was that first rain, and a little bit of the sand on the foundation kind of eroded away, and we see the little rivulets coming out from under the house. And so we go try to collect some more sand and we shove it back up under there. And then there's a bigger storm and some more of it drifts away. And so now we've got to work hard and go get some sandbags, and we're trying to sandbag the house. And then the rainy season hits in full and a huge, full-fledged level 5 storm just comes and beats on our house, and it just washes the sand right out from under the house, and now the house is crumbling. And here's the big problem. The big problem for us is that a sandy foundation doesn't cause us problems during the sunny season. It only causes us problems during the rainy season. Well, here's the amazing thing. It's only in the rainy season that we really need the house. During the sunny season, we didn't need it. We were okay. It's just when we need it most that the sandy foundation is going to give way and our life is going to crumble before our very eyes. Here's the thing that we need to understand. Storms will happen. That's just the way it is. The rain is going to come. We live in a fallen world where people sin, where nature is no longer governed by just absolute goodness, And bad, stormy, awful things are going to happen. Someone says, Edwin, you need to be more positive. Look, I'm positive. It's going to rain. I stole that from someone else. I really like that line, by the way. And if you build your life on sand, you're going to get to watch it crumble. Now, wasn't that easier? Wasn't that just so much more fun in the moment? I got to tell you, I feel a lot better. It's just so much easier to talk about following the path of least resistance and pursuing sin and the pleasures of our flesh. But I know that some of you are saying, I don't want to watch my life crumble. Well, okay, look, fine. If you don't want that, if you don't want your life to crumble, then just go back to the old way, read God's word, and just do whatever it says. Because that's how that works. But if you want to build your life on sand, read it, ignore it, justify yourself, blame God, and then sit back and watch your life crumble. The choice is yours. What choice are you making? If you're going to be using a songbook tonight, would you pull that out now, please? What was the number again, Cody? 909. If you're going to be using the songbook, you can turn to number 909. There's a fountain free. You know, the reality is, building on the rock is not all that complex. It's not always easy, but I will tell you, it's always very simple. Build on the rock means see what God says and just do it no matter what. Don't justify disregarding it. Don't make excuses. Just do what it says. And God gave us His word not because He was trying to make it really hard for us to get to heaven. God didn't give us His word so He could just give us a list of rules that would make it very unbearable to live in this life. God gave us this. God gave us this because He wants our house to stand. So why not just do what He says? I mean, the fact is, when we argue against it and we justify, well, all we're going to do is watch our lives crumble and have only ourselves to blame for it. Are you building on the rock or are you building on the sand? Are you doing what He says, no matter what? Or are you coming up with excuses to do something else? I want to encourage you tonight, if you need help building on the rock, we're here to help you. It is always that simple, but it's not always easy. And I think that's why God has put us together in congregations. Because a lot of times what we need to build on the rock is one another. So in those moments when what I would rather do is just pack up a little sand and drink a little lemonade, somebody can come along and poke me in the back and say, hey, you need to find the rock. If we can help you build on the rock, why don't you come forward right now as we stand and sing?